This clan have left the human condition behind, and gladly, they forego their morality for dark powers, for self-indulgence, and torture. And now they focus on transcending their own bodies from the vampiric state. Today we're going to be talking about the Zemisi. On the surface, the Zemisi look like one of the more pleasant vampires that you can run into. They are polite, they're very intelligent, and somewhat inquisitive. This would also be in stark contrast to the Bruja or the Nosferatu. When you start to get under the layers of skin, that will be funny later, this clan is something much more monstrous. Historically, the Zemisi broods were not that large. They stuck to a specific plot of land, and that's what they guarded. They were violent, uncivilized broods, and their breeding stock, well, they were mostly incestuous there too. The only way to keep these broods and these clans civil, the things that they respected were power, as well as their blood bond. Now, a blood bond also goes by a separate name known as a blood oath. This is a supernatural link of loyalty and dependency. The individual, who is the thrall, and the vampire, who is known as the regnant. And this bond is commonly used to have these thralls because they have vitae in their veins. They have blood in their veins. Essentially, the thrall is food. The Zemisi have a ruling body. There is no structural government per se, but there definitely is a council. This was called the Council of Voivodes. The top spot in the council was called the Viceroy, and the Viceroy is elected for life. There's a catch to this, though. The elected viceroys tend to have short lifespans because jealousy exists in vampire clans. As a matter of fact, in the history of this clan, there are several viceroys that have been on regular, how shall we say, churning. Many of them reached the final death because of various political traps or just physical traps that killed them. Now, this council was actually most populated during the Dark Ages. And that's a section for this clan we will talk about in another video. This council and hierarchy existed for quite some time until the First Anarch Revolt. And as most creatures of the night are, they became even more solitary and reclusive from the rest of their kindred society. Most Zemisi now only embrace just weird individuals. People that are definitely misfits for society still possess some level of intelligence and decorum, because being smart is still very important to the Zemisi. Some other interesting characters that the Zemisi tend to have a lot of in their clans: psychopaths, sadists, and a lot of people into self-mutilation. They can all be crazy, but they still have to be a smart kind of crazy. Now, the Anarchist Revolt, this refers to a section in history when a lot of young vampires rebelled against the status quo. The younger generations were taking their power back because they were tired of being manipulated and controlled for various purposes that they were not fully aware of. That and all the elder vampires were hoarding all the power to themselves. Nobody was sharing. There was actually two anarchist revolts throughout history. Kindred society commonly refers to the first anarchist revolt that ended up happening. The first revolt was in the 15th century, and the second revolt was in the 20th century. Kainites and kindred society look at the Zemisi dark magics as something purely horrific. And when vampires tell you that this magic is just bad news, you better pay attention. The signature power of the Zemisi is known as vicissitude. I'm pronouncing that right, but that's what it's going to be called for the rest of this video. Using this specific power outside of the Zemisi clan is almost unheard of. What this power allows someone to do who is very well versed in it is basically sculpt flesh and bone. And this works on themselves. It also works on those that they can come into contact with. And it can be used for the powers of good or evil, in the sense that whoever's been contacted with this or had that power used on them, they can look potentially absolutely perfect. The perfect human specimen. Or they can become a pile of slop. And the Zemisi have used this power to definitely cement their reputation. It is well earned. Now, the wielder of this power must have skin-to-skin contact in order for this to work. And on top of this, there's also a sculpting element to it. You can't just touch somebody and make something bad or good happen. You still have to mold and move the flesh and bone. Oftentimes, the sign of a Zemisi is someone who is just like category 5 beautiful. That's often a sign of someone who is very skilled in this particular power, and those who just look downright like a Nosferatu, they're not as skilled in this magic. The nature of where vicissitude comes from is still not fully known, even by those in the clan. The oldest elders, that you can actually talk to, they don't even truly know where it is, and they often speak in speculation when talking about this particular discipline. What has been discovered, though, is that this particular discipline acts almost like a virus. You can be infected through transmission of blood, and it's suspected that the antediluvian of the Zemisi is the one who created this kind of virus. The Zemisi view themselves as superior to their kindred, and obviously human society, and the better they can use vicissitude to show how much better looking they are or how much control they have over this power, this is their proof that they are just better than you. Vicissitude is viewed as a curse of God's ability to create. The children of Cain were cursed, and this vicissitude is just an extension of that curse. It's viewed that God's ability to create and to nurture, vicissitude is the exact opposite. It rends and corrupts. Now, those who are experienced in vicissitude, they will sometimes just change on their own. It's not 100% controlled by them. This usually happens when someone has been scared or when a particular emotion is boiling up. And this promotes physical change that react to the situation. If the Zemisi find someone appealing, they may inadvertently make themselves look just that much better. If they're feeling defensive, you may find some claws just happen to form on the tips of your fingers. And thus it should come as no surprise that someone that can alter their physical appearance as an entire clan, that self-image is very important as a clan. The Zemisi view vicissitude as a way to transcend their vampiric state. And they regularly conduct experiments not only on themselves, but also on their thralls, on their servants, people that they've collected over time, to experiment and become better at this skill. A particularly ambitious Zemisi might alter their own body on a nightly basis. Now, the Zemisi are monsters in the sense that they have basically no morals, no conscience. The end result is what they care about. Unlike the Lasombra or even the Ventru, the Zemisi, they don't care about using dominate. It's just not something that they do. They don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Instead, they will use vicissitude for altering bodies, creating the effects that they want to have that fear for their servants and basically everybody else. If you don't do shit for me, I will liquefy your bones and make you look like a puddle. They can also create just giant beings that they use as personal bodyguards. Some of the most famous versions of this are the Slacha and the Vajd. Koldunic sorcery is another type of magic that the Zemisi can use. This particular magic is more or less tied to a demon, at least that's how it's believed to function. A major difference of Koldunic sorcery versus thaumaturgy is the sense that in Koldunic sorcery, you are harnessing the power of a spirit and making it bend to your will or harnessing its intent to do what you want. Versus thaumaturgy, which is more about memorization and casting a ritual or the rite. I've mentioned that this particular magic hints that the Zemisi have a connection to a earth demon. This particular demon helped drive the Guru away from the Carpathians. This is what allowed the Zemisi to establish their homelands. Practitioners of Koldunism find that this takes a very long time to master. It sometimes takes decades before you can even start using any of the base abilities or learning some of those base abilities. And this particular version of casting, this sorcery, is really only used by some of the really older members of the Zemisi. Now, if you're a Zemisi who is in the Sabbat, you are most likely going to be a scholar or an educator of some kind, perhaps even a spiritual leader. Some other clans can really enjoy having their titles. The Zemisi just really aren't concerned about a specific title. In many cases, they don't even have one. They do, however, focus on their own personal development, as that is something that's very important to them. The Zemisi that are in the Sabbat, they also tend to prove their resolve quite diligently, even though many of the other clans doubt their intentions. Now, if you do doubt a Zemisi who is in the Sabbat and you put their loyalties to the test, they still might turn you into a pile of goo. These are some of the most well-behaved Zemisi, and they are basically a paragon of the entire clan. When it comes to the Zemisi who are not in the Sabbat, specifically the ones in Eastern Europe, they really only talk about supporting the Sabbat. It's just not something that they care about. They very much would prefer to be left alone and live their solitary lives. And the Sabbat usually gives them their leeway, kind of a wide berth, mostly because these Zemisi tend to be a little bit older and quite powerful. It's not unheard of for younger vampires to go messing about with a old and powerful Zemisi who just wants to be left alone and turned into something just monstrous and kept alive. Now, a phenomenon that happens within the Zemisi is something called a revenant. Revenants are basically specific to the Zemisi. They really don't happen anywhere else. Revenants are families of ghouls who serve exclusively to the Zemisi families or the Zemisi clans, but they could become candidates for an embrace. Basically, they've been in contact with a supernatural creature, the vampires, for so long that it turns them into something else. It alters their genetic makeup, which allows them to be turned into something else, or potentially turned into something else. Revenants, through inbreeding and blood transfusions, have basically become a different kind of supernatural creature. They do have their own blood, and it's semi-vampiric, which means that their lifespans, while not unlimited, are definitely longer than that of an average human. They also have the ability, because of their semi-vampiric blood, to use disciplines. Revenants do have a high opinion of themselves when it comes to comparing themselves to other humans, and they are intensely loyal, fanatically loyal to the Zemisi family that they serve. And these revenants can also provide some breeding stock to kind of diversify the gene pool of the Zemisi. The way that most revenants live, the way that they've been trained by their Zemisi families or their overlords, they're really unpleasant to be around, and they could never fully adapt into human society. They just simply would not fit in. Thus, they stay exactly where they're supposed to be and used accordingly. Something else that these Zemisi are very well versed in, which does not require a spiritual presence or a spiritual connection, torture. It's very important that when you're gearing up for a torture session, that you prepare yourself not only mentally, but physically. The Zemisi are very good at this because mentally, quite strong, and they're also very intelligent. Vicissitude does come in handy when you are gearing up for a torture session, just in case. Getting information out of your target, pretty easy when you can, one, scare them just by looking like some hideous monster, two, by luring your target into a false sense of security because you look like someone that they trust, like someone that they actually know. I mean, if you wanted to crank that up to 11, you could also look like someone that they absolutely hate and just find your pain points. When it comes to vicissitude and torture, changing your physical appearance is not the only trick in the box. You can also just warp your own body to become your own torture implement, or your target's body, depending on what exactly you're going for. Basically, what I'm getting at is there is almost nothing a Zemisi would not do to get what they want. When it comes to clan variants for the Zemisi, there are two versions that really stand out. You have the Khuldun and the Old Clan Zemisi. Those who call themselves Khuldun claim to be the first to master sorcery. What's unclear is if Khuldun is a title that is bestowed upon someone who has mastered their eldritch energies and harnessing this, or if it's just a name that's applied to the bloodline. Whatever the case, Khulduns are rare, and they are very respected among the Zemisi, which should tell you something. Not every Zemisi is capable of harnessing the spiritual energies that it takes to become a Khuldun. And the price of failing to master Khuldunism is basically burning to death. The energies consume you and you are dead. Final dead. the end of you. Now, members of the Zemisi clan who did not join the Sabbat and did not practice their vicissitude, the younger generations of vampires have taken to calling them the Old Clan Zemisi. Generally, if you're part of the Old Clan, you're 500 years older or plus. Many of the Zemisi elders met final death when they joined the Sabbat. Some made it away and they planned their revenge against the Sabbat. Old Clan Zemisi society is based around one sire, making the brood, and just keeping it going. There's a lot of blood bonds that happen in these types of environments. If you're looking for some blending with Werewolf the Apocalypse, I don't see a lot of werewolf clans that the Zemisi would work with, outside of maybe the Skin Dancers and the Black Spiral Dancers. Now, the Black Spiral are organized into septs called hives, and the places or the cairns where they raise their young are called pits. These are just not happy places to be. Black Spiral are very much tainted by worm energies, and it really shows in the places that they live. They're very toxic, they're very radiated, generally quite polluted. At the dawn of the 20th century, the Black Spiral found a way to spread the worm's influence, basically by having corporations and companies dump their toxic waste, polluting the earth, and in these heavily polluted spots, this is where you will find a lot of spiritual energies. There's generally quite a lot of banes in these areas. Pentex is a very large holding company that has various subsidiary companies all linked together, and they all work to further the purposes of the worm. And the Black Spiral tribe is growing. Now, the Skin Dancers, this is a tribe that is hated by both Guru and the Black Spiral. I feel that these would be a very good fit to work with the Zemisi. They are the legacy of a very infamous character in World of Darkness, Samuel Hayt. They were basically kinfolk who learned a horrendous ritual that allowed them to take the skin off werewolves, form a suit out of it, and become a werewolf themselves. And generally it takes the pelts of 5 werewolves to create one new Skin Dancer. This particular ritual is hated by the Guru because it is just awful and it's very worm tainted. And the Black Spiral, they don't like it because in order to do this, you have to kill them. They wouldn't mind so much if you were killing the Guru Nation, but it doesn't really matter where the pelts come from. If you would like to learn a little bit more about the vampires or maybe even the Skin Dancers, I have them on the screen for you now. Thank you to all of my patrons for your ongoing support. My name's Nathaniel. This has been the Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.